briefing and public comment. And Eric, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Commission Director Sue Swin. I know that Anis Audi, who is on the screen there, is planning to present, and I think he's here, but he's just working his way upstairs, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. But I think we'll have him here as a resource very soon as we talk about this topic. So we are here to talk about hunting contests. If I remember right, I think it was a Bellingham meeting where we received some direction to come back to the commission with some information about this topic, along with some potential recommendation or options for the commission to consider. So I'm going to start just with some background. Hunting contests are all regulated by an RCW. It's RCW 77-32-525. And it essentially says that the director shall administer rules adopted by the commission which govern the time, place, and manner of holding, fishing, and hunting contests. So you'll see in that kind of the critical thing is it's both hunting and fishing. They're both addressed in the same RCW or state statute. Another statute, a person shall not promote, conduct, hold, or sponsor a contest for the hunting or fishing of wildlife or a competitive field trial involving live wildlife for hunting dogs without first obtaining a hunting or fishing contest permit. Contest and field trials should be held in accordance with established rules. And so the critical piece of information there is in order for anyone to engage in this type of behavior event under state law, it is required that it be permitted. And so then we have a permitting process that we'll talk to here and some associated WACs in just a minute. And one final state statute that is important for the commission is a fishing or field trial permit allows the holder to promote, conduct, hold, or sponsor a fishing or field trial contest in accordance with rules of the commission. So that's your authority to direct those rules. And there's some fee information there. And I think that covers the state statute component. Oh, and here we have Anis, so thank you. I maybe give him just a second to get settled, but I'll start talking a little bit about the process. So WAC 220-412-110, which is, of course, is a commission WAC, provides some direction to both the public as well as the department in the issuance of these permits. So only organizations filed with the state of Washington as a nonprofit corporation may hunt or may apply for a hunting contest. Hunting contest permit applications shall be submitted to the department 30 days prior, so it requires some notice. There's the fee that we talked about, and we restrict what can occur by the permit. So, in other words, the permit itself specifies which species are authorized. This is a critical part is that in the statute, it has to do what we're talking about is the regulation of these contests. In an event that has some type of financial or prize associated with it. And so if you're going to participate in that type of an event, you require this permit, and here by WAC, that's been limited to $2,000 total amount. I think that the bottom line is perhaps the only other one worth me reading, which is hunting contests which may adversely affect wildlife resources may be denied. So that's our current guidance on the process, and thankfully Anis is here. He can walk through in greater detail maybe some of the statistics for current events.
My apologies for my tardiness. I didn't realize. From these, although they are supposed to give it to us when they do get done, but the years where we do have complete harvest data, 14, 15, and 19 for coyotes, the harvest is 527, 335, and 119 respectively. So in 2014, 527 coyotes were taken with these contests. In 2015, 335, and 2019, 119. So this is kind of just through the years, how many contests we permitted. As you can see, a high of six, and then the most recent year, only a couple. So this is statistics mostly about coyotes, about what other states do with regard to contests or coyotes in general for coyote management. There's about 30 states really don't do a whole lot. They're not the authority when it comes to coyote management. And a lot of jurisdictions, either the Department of Agriculture or other entities, are actually in charge of coyotes. In four states, there are no coyote killing contests, so they're either illegal through legislation or commission action. In two states, they do have these contests, but there are no prizes associated with them. So they're, that's kind of the way they dealt with it. And then in one state, the number of animals killed is controlled, so they limit it to a certain number that can be killed. There are states that have size and quality contests, so basically it's not a numerical part of the contest, so it's not how many you can kill, it's just maybe the size of the animal and the quality of the animal. So these are mostly geared towards antlered and horned animals. There are three states that have a bounty on coyotes, either through the state wildlife or through other county or other entities. And then in four states, counties have authority to manage coyotes and coyote hunting. And then prizes are allowed in one state, and that's our state. So now, some of the potential options. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kim.
So this it sort of talks about the management of the contest. What about the management or any requirements for the carcasses and products involved in contests? Yeah. And one that I'm thinking of is, as we're looking at non-lead ammunition and so leaving gut piles and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's not a lot of data on that from between state and state. I mean, I think some of it depends on the state rules around whether you have on those specific animals, whether you have to either keep the fur or the whole carcass or that. So it varies. It's all across the board. And oftentimes what it depends on is what the price of fur is doing. I mean, if coyote fur is a little bit better, then people will take the time to skin them and market those furs. But oftentimes that's not the case. Most recently, I think fur prices for coyotes is around $30. So it's not, it's still worth it. But for those folks that are probably participating in these contests, it may not be that worth it to sit down and skin whatever, however many coyotes they've killed.
Looking at your total number of permits given for the last how many ever years, what that sort of jumps into my mind is I feel like we kind of get a sense when these coyote derbies are going, well, we know when these coyote derbies are going on. And so, and it's a lot more than obviously there's permits for. So does the department have any sense for how many folks are, or, you know, how many with times when groups are doing these derbies without a permit?
Yeah, no, I can't say that we have a sense for that. So obviously people can go out and hunt coyotes and have, I guess competitions between one another about who can kill the most. And as long as it's not something that's, I guess, formal and where the prizes are being given, then we don't often know about them. Now, I'm sure there are some that occur and maybe prizes are given that we're not aware of, but I don't have any statistics on that.
Okay.
Commissioner Smith. And just a quick follow-up. Do you know if we've ever issued any enforcement actions about what Representative Lindwall said?
I don't have that information. Yeah, I could certainly run that down.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, a couple of quick questions. On state strategies chart, you mentioned 30 states had no contest through State Department, but that's through the Department of Fish and Wildlife. There may be correct. Some sanction through a state otherwise. Okay.
That's correct.
And then yep. The other question is with regard to harvest data, you said a number of the permittees had not shared harvest data. It seems to me that there should be some grounds to not allow a future permit if they're not sharing data.
That is usually the way.
Because we all have to do that.
Yeah. That is the way we usually deal with it. And when they ask for a future permit, we say, you know, you didn't submit last time, so we could not issue a permit because of that.
Okay.
All right. Well, kind of maybe that's the background data. Moving into optional possible options. You know, obviously, we could always do nothing. I mean, that's one option. But I given how many times we've come to the committee with this, I don't think that's probably one that we would move forward with. But other things we could do is modify the permit conditions. So when we issue a permit, we could write whatever sideboards we want on them. And then also we could modify the WAC itself, the rule, to limit the scope of those contests. The potential modifications that we can think of are ones that other states are doing. As I mentioned, you could have a no numerical base contest. You could have no prizes. That would require a WAC change because in the WAC it says you can have prizes up to $2,000. And then we could limit the species that are allowed under these contests. And then other options could be developed by kind of reaching out to our public and seeing what maybe some ideas they have to make these contests, I guess, more socially acceptable.
Commissioner Thorburn.
So we had a discussion yesterday in the Wildlife Committee about we believe we need to move forward with this, and there need to be some modifications. And basically, the discussion centered around how the sort of coyote derby, where it's kill as many as you can, and you get a sort of monetary prize or whatever for just killing lots of animals, in no way represents the ethics of hunting in the hunting community that our department promotes. And for that reason, we think it's important to move forward with basically banning these kinds of contests and looking at the species that should be included, maybe beyond coyotes, fur bearers, or ones where we have open season and less controlled hunting. I will add, because it kind of came up today and hadn't really been thought of, but I might have a little bit of concern with that, because I'm hearing that these things happen without department authorization, and that may be the bigger problem. And if we ban completely, it's kind of collective punishment, maybe, for those who are following rules, and because we have a lot of who aren't. And maybe that's the concern that we need to be to have first before. I do think we need to make some changes in these kinds of contests. I'm there. But I'm real concerned to hear that these things are going on without department authorization.
Commissioner Grayville.
I think this touches on what Commissioner Thornburn is talking about, and my question actually is to Commissioner Linville. She is a rancher, and she becomes aware because of trespass issues. Isn't that essentially it? That's how she becomes aware of this activity. I'm not certain that this activity wouldn't occur if we banned contests, but it points to the fact that we need to perhaps work with enforcement to make them aware, although I don't think there's much we can do about people that are going to chase coyotes down on their snowmobiles, and that's an activity I'm aware of in our region. But I am aware of these trespass issues, and we do, I think I agree with Commissioner Thornburn that we need to look at making changes, but also look outside of the wax and what formally details these contests, and maybe address a bigger issue. And that's all I wanted to say about that. But.
Okay. Sure. I'm done with my presentation. But
I didn't mean it that way.
No. But I mean, I don't want to stifle the conversation, obviously.
But I don't want to. Commissioner Linville has a question, and
If I could have just a minute, I'd like to sort of lay out so the commission sort of understands how this rolls out on the ground in real life. And so our ranch is big open valley with big basalt cliffs on either side. And the ranch was there, and at some point in time, the county put a road right through the middle of the ranch. So we have a road that bifurcates the whole ranch. And so we have agricultural fields on either side of the road. And the coyotes are often out there snooping around, you know, eating gophers, moles, voles. And so they're very, very exposed. They're just out there. They're also our only free employees that we have on the ranch. So, and so when these contests, sanctioned or otherwise, happen, what that looks like and how we know that they're going on is because suddenly there are pickups racing up and down the road, people jumping out, shooting from the road, and it's open and flat. So we see all this going on. We contact these people. Then they run out in our fields because they have to have proof, get the carcass, and drag it across, you know, essentially trespassing, which when you trespass when you're hunting, that's poaching when you don't have the, you know, landowners, you know, acquiescence that you can be out there. And so I just wanted to clarify what that looks like, so you don't think that I'm just like, you know, oh, I know when these things are going on. It becomes very, very obvious. And the other thing that happens is we have livestock guardian dogs, and we start getting really worried about their safety during these contests. And they are the reason that we can have predators on the ranch, because they keep the balance. And so they're sort of our, you know, they're very, very important to our operation. And the breeder that we actually get our dogs from have had dogs killed during killing contests. And she has a three-legged livestock guardian dog because its leg got shot off during one of these derbies. So I just wanted to be really clear that I'm not just sort of pulling this out of the air. It's real life. And something that got brought up yesterday that is, you know, there you'll also hear of other folks who are like, no, it's fine. But I think it's the topography that your ranch or your farm is on. Like, if you're in the timber, you're not going to get those road hunters that are just, you know, zooming around. So it might not seem to some agricultural folks as a big deal, because they're not seeing the same things we are, because, you know, maybe they're in the timber, you know, it's not open enough, or the roads are rough, or whatever. So I just wanted to paint that picture a little bit, so the commission kind of knows how that goes.
Any other questions or comments of Anissa or Eric before we get started?
Maybe to follow up on the illegal aspect of it. So it is illegal for them to be holding these contests without a permit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be some sort of outreach to the public that if you know of these, you should report them. You know, we haven't, I guess we don't know how big of a problem that is, so we haven't approached it in that way. So that problem is already, I guess, addressed in RCW. We just have to figure out how to better figure out when they're going on.
I have one real quick. No, I'll be right with you, Mr. Keogh. One quick question. We don't have to deal with it now. But do you have population trends over the last decade for coyotes?
We don't have population trends, but we you know, given the small numbers that these contests are taking and the harvest data that we get for coyotes, we don't think that it's a we know it's not a biological problem. It's mostly a social issue that we're talking
okay.
about.
Thank you. Commissioner Keogh.
Yeah, so I guess my question is if it is illegal to conduct these contests without a permit, what's the penalty?
So under
I mean, just, and then if we, let's just say hypothetically, as part of this review, that we wanted to beef up the penalties instead of a misdemeanor, you know, gross misdemeanor or something like that, would that require, that would require a statutory change, right? Yes. Not just within the commission. Okay.
Commissioner Linville?
Also to kind of paint the picture a little bit more. Also, so in these rural counties, the department staff does a great job. Our law enforcement officers, we call them before we call the sheriff deputy, to be quite honest with you, because they do such a great job. And we have had wildlife officers come and make airtight cases for us. They were awesome. They did due diligence. They were amazing. And then our county prosecutor wouldn't prosecute, right? So, and people know this, right? They know this around wildlife laws. So they break wildlife laws knowing that our prosecutors could give a rip about.
They would say that.
Oh, sorry, the lawyer.
A lot of things on their plate.
It's Douglas County. There is nothing going on in our county at all.
All right, if I may, Eric, you have a comment.
Yeah, I think just before you go to the public, the topics you're discussing are the ones that are on
our minds, right? So there is a state statute that says if you're going to hold a contest, that it requires the commission to set the guidance and the department then to respond to that. So it is that permitting process that allows us to become aware of at least the folks that are doing it lawfully. It allows us to coordinate with our local enforcement officers. It allows us to have some oversight and to collect the data from that. So, you know, ultimately, you know, is there potentially unlawful behavior? Yes, probably with all of our hunts and fisheries, there's always that potential. But this process and the permitting of these types of contests, be it a big buck contest or currently even the coyote contest, that's really the intent, is to show that the commission and the department has some knowledge and oversight and direction. And so as we explore the potential options that Anise had on the screen about maybe adjusting the WAC and thinking about banning contests, you know, or coyote specific or fur bearer contests, you know, we'll just have to recognize that if that is something that the department is no longer permitting, it would then therefore all be unlawful, and we wouldn't if it were to occur. And so we wouldn't necessarily have that feed of information about the event that would be that more direct oversight, but it would essentially be saying that those things couldn't occur anymore, and then there could be a different type of response, I guess, when it's observed occurring.
That's a question. I'm not going to go there. All right, we're going to go into the open public comment piece, if I may. I'm going to call you folks up three at a time, and you shall have 3 minutes to state your position or your comments. First one is Dan Paul, Chrissy, C-E-R-E, it looks like.
That looks like Cole to me.
Okay, Chrissy. And Story Warren.
All right. I'll go ahead and get started. Members of the commission, thank you so much for hearing us today. My name is Dan Paul. I'm the Washington State Director for the Humane Society of the United States. This is a really important issue to us, and I'm really pleased, Commissioner Baker, for sort of bringing this forward. and I know you guys are well versed on it, it sounds like. And so what I wanted to focus on today was talking a bit about just the ethical concerns of these contests. As I was hearing the comments today, kind of from the department, thinking about the tracking that they're doing, seeing that there is no data between 2016 and 2017, 2018, and then the response that they don't issue permits then to non-compliers to the hunt data. These events have gone on for 10, 11, 12, 20 years, right? And so they're still going on today. So that didn't really, I can't really see what the connection there. If that's the penalty to non-compliers to then just not issue permits, I think they're still happening. But the data's not really being collected. So we don't know. But going back to the ethical issues, it brings me back to that 2018 spree killing event in our state, right, where there's the hunting clubs and they were killing hundreds of animals, right? And it was a great job by the enforcement division to do the undercover investigation, to prosecute those folks. And yes, we're talking about coyotes and fur bears, but it's the ethic beyond it. It's the killing for killing's sake. It's the wanton killing. It's the making the competition out of as many carcasses as you can get, or about the biggest dog, coyote, or the smallest, or the most. And so we know that does not fit in with Washington state values. There was a poll done, responsive management held it for Washington citizens, spanning urban and rural, east and west. 73% of Washingtonians oppose these contests. Those are big numbers. And so I understand there'd be some regulatory challenges or some challenges with enforcement to ban the contest. I think that's the route that we need to take. At one time, dog fighting was legal in this country, right? And then it became an illegal activity. It still happens today, right? These are happening, but they're underground. But folks know that they're not allowed, and we get the enforcement authority to respond to those offenders. And that's my comments. But thank you so much for considering this.
Thank you, Dan. Chrissy?
Hi, I'm Chrissy Cole. I just wanted to support the change of eliminating the prizes in these contests. I have hunted. I have a family that hunts. I eat meat, and we also live on a Harvey farm, so I know that animals, the coyotes specifically, can come on and damage livestock. But I also believe in ethical hunting, and there needs to be a balance. So, we need better oversight, eliminating the financial reward. I mean, if somebody's going to get a $2,000 prize for killing an animal, I mean, that's more than some people making minimum wage make in a month. There needs to be monitoring on how many. The state reg, I believe right now, is there's not a limit on coyotes. So going out and just disseminating the population. So there needs to be some kind of regulation on how we're handling that. And then also, obviously, stiffer penalties and enforcement. If nobody's going to enforce it, people aren't going to follow the rules anyways if they don't think that they're going to be penalized. So, like I said, I come from a hunting family, so I'm not, but I am also a supporter of balance and ethical hunting throughout the state.
Thank you, Chrissy. Yes, Story? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and thank you for taking a look at this issue. I just have some general comments about wildlife killing contests. I grew up here in Washington, enjoying the land and wildlife that our great state has to offer. I'm now studying wildlife biology at the University of Montana. As freshmen, we were taught about the North American model of wildlife conservation, which allowed for the recovery of wildlife populations after many species were depleted prior to the 20th century. We learned that the fourth component of the North American model is that, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, wildlife can only be killed for a legitimate purpose. Wildlife is a shared resource that must not be wasted. Wildlife killing contests are a waste of that shared resource. They cheapen the animals that are harvested, and they dishonor hunting as a valuable and ethical activity. I'm not here representing the Wildlife Society, but to borrow from their position statement on the subject, which will be distributed to you. Killing contests differ from typical regulated hunting by the very nature of the organized public competition and prizes being given specifically for killing the largest, smallest, or most animals. Washington has the opportunity to be a leader in sound, ethical, and science-based wildlife management for the future by ending the distasteful practice of wildlife killing contests. Thank you for your consideration of this issue.
Mr. Smith.
Director, I want you to pay attention to that young lady because we better recruit her in a couple of years. I've watched Story over the years that she's presented to us, and you excelled again, so it's good to see you again.
Thank you. You too.
How old were you when you first came in front of us a number of years ago?
Yeah, it's been a while. I think I was 13.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back.
You. Thank you.
Oh, excuse me, Commissioner Baker.
As long as we're on Story. So, Story, where did you wake up yesterday morning?
Missoula, Montana.
Story flew in for this for her 3 minutes, and I want to say that I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And future recruitment opportunities.
Definitely, yeah.
Worth it.
And
you.
Go Grizz.
Thank you, folks. Next three, Camilla Fox, Ruth Musgrave, and Frank Gorecki. I hope I have that right.
Yeah, Ruth, I thought that was your younger sister.
Yeah. My daughter.
I know. That's not anymore. She looks like your younger sister now.
Thank you.
Camilla.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Camilla Fox, and I'm the founder and executive director of Project Coyote. I thank you for the opportunity to speak here today on behalf of our Washington members and supporters. And I want to give a little bit of background about this issue and how it really has grown into a national movement. Really, it started in California back in 2012. We learned of a large killing contest in Modoc County in the north. And at the time, OR7, also known as Journey, the one gray wolf who had traversed across the border, was in that particular area. And so at the time, there was also a petition to list wolves under the California Endangered Species Act. They were already listed under the federal. So we actually petitioned our Fish and Game Commission, and we argued not only was that particular wolf threatened by killing contests, but also that killing contests ultimately are anathema to sound wildlife management. And so we worked with our California Fish and Game Commission president, Mike Sutton. And Mike Sutton, really, as a waterfowl hunter, I will first off say that most of the commissioners really had no idea the prevalence of these killing contests. And so we demonstrated how pervasive they were in the state. Many of the times, for us at least, they were not permitted. So we didn't know how many were going on, nor did we know the species that were being killed, the numbers. So of great concern to the commission. And ultimately, we launched a statewide campaign, and we involved tribal leaders, also ethical hunters, predator-friendly ranchers. And that campaign ultimately lasted 18 months. In that effort, some of the opposition, including the Farm Bureau, Cattlemen's Association, NRA, U.S. Sportsmen's Alliance, they made the argument that killing contests are necessary to control coyote populations, that they effectively boost ungulate populations, so deer and elk, and that they also effectively reduce conflicts between predators and livestock. And so Commissioner Sutton asked us, he said, could you respond to those claims? So we did. We went to our science advisory board and other scientists, and we asked them if they could refute those claims. We put that into a science sign-on letter. I have copies for you here today. It's now signed by more than 70 scientists from across the nation, reputable, some of the most esteemed wildlife ecologists and canine biologists. And they essentially refuted each one of those claims. So ultimately, that garnered us the third commission vote. And that commissioner, as a waterfowl hunter, along with Mike Sutton, he said, this is not just about science. This is ultimately about ethics. And that's what I think when you look at this issue, it's not about whether the populations can sustain killing contests. It's really about what is right and what is wrong. And that's why we see more and more hunters across the country taking this issue on and really recognizing that this is anathema to, just as Story said, to the North American wildlife management model, really to professional wildlife stewardship. And we see more and more commissions taking this on. Just this last year, the Arizona Game and Fish took this issue on, and they banned the practice. Massachusetts also, their state wildlife agency, took the issue on. Right now, Colorado is deliberating a ban on it. So subsequent to California, New Mexico, Vermont, Arizona, and Massachusetts all prohibited the practice. Sometimes that's limited to certain species in those states, but really what we're seeing is a trend. Dan Paul mentioned the dogfighting, that our nation has decided that dogfighting and cockfighting are something that are too cruel to support. That was a state-by-state effort.
Could you please wrap up your comments?
Absolutely.
You've got a little bit over time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we believe that just like dogfighting and cockfighting, that as a nation we have decided is unacceptable, that killing contests also should be ultimately banned. And we hope that Washington will become the fifth state to do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Ruth, welcome again.
I'm here to provide information on the other states, but I think that Camilla has wrapped up a lot of it. I'm also glad to write this up and send it to you, but I'm wondering, in fact, I emailed our staff yesterday, are we reaching a tipping point on this? Because there are so many states introducing bans on killing contests. Right now it's New Jersey, New York, Oregon is considering it, commission level as well as statutory level, Nevada, Montana had a bill last year, Wisconsin, and then to Commissioner Graybill's comment about coyotes getting run down, there are also bills, there was one introduced in Montana to prohibit vehicular injury of animals, and Wyoming prohibiting wanton killing or injuring of animals with snowmobiles. So Vermont passed their ban a couple years ago. New Hampshire, one of our senators did not know that killing contests were allowed in New Hampshire, and he had an enormous reaction, and he said, that's it, I'm introducing a bill, send me samples. And so I've seen legislators actually not know that this is going on and have such strong reactions when they do find out. Another, you know, Arizona and Massachusetts, their commissions have banned killing contests, but in New Mexico, you probably heard something unique last year. The first act of the new state land commissioner was to ban killing contests on New Mexico state lands. I think that's the only state that's done that. But then within that same session, the New Mexico legislature enacted a ban on killing contests. So that's kind of where we are nationally. I know that Colorado is considering it. Their commission considered it. And then there are a lot of city and county resolutions against killing contests. So I've got all this information. If you'd like it, I'd be glad to email it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Frank?
Thank you, Commissioners, for this opportunity to comment on this agenda item. My name is Frank Grecki, and I live on a small farm about 10 miles from here in the Evergreen Valley. My interest in this topic comes about because I'm a hunter of small and big game, and because in the last 3 years, coyotes have killed one of my sheep and about half of my poultry.
So, speak into the microphone.
Oh, okay. There we go. Any better? So, while I support hunting coyotes, especially to protect my livestock, I'm completely against wildlife killing contests, in particular coyote killing contests. I'm against coyote killing contests for the following reasons. First of all, ethical hunting shows respect for the land and the hunted animals. A killing contest paying for a fixed time frame of killing a lot of animals doesn't show respect for the animal, the land, or the hunters. Second, again, looking at that North American model of wildlife conservation, wildlife should only be killed for legitimate purposes. Wildlife, including coyotes, is a shared resource and should not be wasted or killed for frivolous reasons. Finally, wildlife science suggests that indiscriminate killing is ineffective in decreasing livestock or ungulate losses due to coyote depredation. And that's also true. Wolves are not the biggest problem for ungulate depredation either, but that's a side effect.
Let's not talk about wolves today.
That's not today's agenda. Well, maybe next time. So an effective strategy is to target specific animals. So I have a pack of coyotes coming into my pasture. I know which one is going to kill my sheep. That's the one I go after. As hunters represent a smaller percentage of the population, growing segments of society are questioning the validity of hunting. Killing contests raise public concerns and could possibly jeopardize the future of all hunting. It would be very unfortunate if public outrage over coyote killing contests led to the banning of hunting and additional constraints. So I urge the Commission to review the regulations for wildlife killing contests, and in particular coyote killing contests, and hopefully to ban these contests in Washington State.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, the woman from...
Camilla Fox.
Yeah, thank you. A quick question. Has your organization tried to get legislation passed banning these types of activities for coyote contests in the legislature here in our state? And if so, what has your success been, or lack thereof?
So not in Washington. As I mentioned, New Mexico and Vermont both have passed bills specific to coyote killing contests, but we have not gone through the legislature here. We believe in general that we like to take this, if we can, first to the State Wildlife Agency for deliberation, since you all are the wildlife stewards. So that's been our tactic, and that's why when I mentioned that more state commissions taking this issue on, I think is, you know, reflective of the fact that they recognize this is something that they need to address. So,
Commissioner Baker?
Just a bit in response to that as well, to let my fellow commissioners know, we the authorities that commissions like us have vary, and in some states, such a ban would have to go through a legislature. In our state, we have checked with our esteemed attorney generals twice now and have gotten the same question, or the same answer to the question of whether the commission has authority. And the fact is that we do. We have the authority, according to Mr. Joe, to ban these contests. My other comment to that, to the question of whether we should go to the legislature first, is that part of my interest in this issue, aside from the, not killing these animals indiscriminately, is our public image. And legislatures solve problems. And the problem that the legislature would be solving if we went there would be us permitting these contests. And that's not the image I want to have out there in the world. So it just seems to me that it makes sense, if we can, for us to do it. And if we can't, then I imagine the people in the audience will take the issue elsewhere.
Thank you, folks. We'll get the next three up. Jill Fritz, Fred Koontz, and Paula Swedeen. I'm sorry. I know Paula for sure. Jill, take it away, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much for letting me speak today. My name is Jill Fritz. I'm a director in the Wildlife Protection Department at the Humane Society of the United States. And I wanted to touch, I've been doing a lot of research on this issue recently, and I found just some really remarkable series of statements from wildlife management professionals in the field that I wanted to just share with you real briefly. Some examples. In 2017, Vermont Fish and Wildlife published a report on the eastern coyote, and they said, coyote hunting contests are not only ineffective at controlling coyote populations, but these kinds of competitive coyote hunts are raising concerns on the part of the public and could possibly jeopardize the future of hunting and affect access to private lands for all hunters. So a year later, the Vermont legislature passed a ban on coyote killing contests. In 2019, the Wildlife Society, the professional organization, advised fellow professionals to recognize, quote, that while species killed in contests can be legally killed in most states, making a contest of it may undermine the public's view of ethical hunting. And also in 2019, the New Mexico legislature banned coyote killing contests soon after Arizona Game and Fish Commission proposed its own ban on killing contests for predator and fur bearer species, so all predator and fur bearer species. And they said in their introduction, to the extent these contests reflect on the overall hunting community, public outrage with these events has the potential to threaten hunting as a legitimate wildlife management function. And within a month, Mass Wildlife, the Massachusetts Division of Fisheries and Wildlife, said almost exactly the same thing when proposing a ban on predator and fur bear killing contests. They said, recognizing that public controversy over this issue has the potential to threaten predator hunting and undermine public support for hunting in general, they were proposing the ban. And as we've heard, both Arizona and Massachusetts approved those bans in 2019. And finally, in support of a 2019 Oregon legislative ban, then chair of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, Mike Finley, said, killing large numbers of predators as part of an organized contest or competition is inconsistent with sound science-based wildlife management and antithetical to the concepts of sportsmanship and fair chase. So I just wanted to share those and ask you to reflect on the views of longtime professionals in the field when considering this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Thorburn.
Observation. A couple of times we've heard that Arizona has recently adopted the ban. I was just at the Winter WAFWA meeting, and the commissioners reported they have banned prizes. They have not banned the activity.
Correct. That's what every single state basically has done. California, Vermont, New Mexico, Arizona, and Massachusetts is banning the killing of either coyotes or predator and fur bearer species for prizes or monetary rewards. Correct, yes.
Okay, Fred?
Good morning. My name is Fred Kuntz. I'm a retired wildlife biologist from Duval, Washington. Yesterday, I submitted a letter to you in support of banning hunting contests. In that letter, I described four reasons why, and you've heard from the other speakers today the first three, so let me skip to the fourth. By banning hunting contests, the commission can demonstrate publicly an example where they have modified a department policy in response to changing best wildlife management practices and a shift in Washingtonians' ethical attitudes. I know you're all very aware that many wildlife professionals and stakeholders are urging state wildlife agencies to become more relevant by placing a greater emphasis on conserving the full array of wildlife and habitat. This in no way means for you to abandon your important role in managing game and fish. But as I think I know you know, that to convince legislators in Washington for additional funds for such a transformation, a new broader coalition of department advocates is required. By proactively banning the hunting contest, you can show potential new stakeholders that the department is evolving with changing times. I believe that a ban on hunting contests will help you build a bigger tent. That's all in the letter, and you can read that. But I came here today really to talk to you face-to-face to share a personal observation. Before I retired, I worked off and on for 25 years, spanning 1978 to 2017. Over that 40-year period, I worked for zoos in that time period. For over the 40-year period, zoos changed greatly. From animal showcases with barred cages to organizations promoting wildlife conservation and displaying animals in simulated habitats teaching ecology. These changes were necessary because we became better informed by science, wildlife became increasingly threatened in nature, and the public's expectations of zoos shifted as their ethical values towards animals changed. Change was not easy. Our traditional customers were upset, and a growing animal advocacy community relentlessly accused us loudly of inappropriate animal care. But we did change. The key was that science was prioritized, and wildlife conservation became our foundation mission. Fast forward to 2011. I moved to Seattle to head the Field Conservation Program for Woodland Park Zoo. Here I had the opportunity to collaborate with the Fish and Wildlife Department staff and serve on the department's Wildlife Diversity Council for 7 years. I saw the same story unfolding at the department as I had experienced in zoos. Change is needed, it's required, for similar reasons. Wildlife science is developing, wildlife and habitat in nature is increasingly threatened, and the public's expectations of the agency are shifting as their outdoor interests change and their ethical values towards animals change. Transformation will not be easy. It will require leadership and courage. You will receive more complaints than compliments. I know, I have been there. But here is the good news. It will be worth it. As your mission becomes more relevant by focusing more fully on solving complex conservation issues, your work will become more meaningful. Public support will grow. And never underestimate the effects that a larger, more timely mission will have on your staff. Their enthusiasm and performance will surpass your wildest expectations. Go for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Welcome. Appreciate your comments. Paula.
So, good morning, Commission. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. And I just wanted to thank you as well for taking on this topic. I think it's an important one. And so I'm, I forgot to introduce myself. So I'm Paula Swiddy, and I'm Policy Director for Conservation Northwest. And we're here in support of you seriously considering a WAC change to ban these hunting contests. You've heard a lot of compelling testimony, and so I don't need to repeat a lot of the points. But just from our experience both in working on reducing conflict between wildlife and livestock and then also working to get broader, more stable funding sources for the department, trying to pull people together across these diverse stakeholder groups can be difficult, but it can also be very rewarding. And this seems to be one of those topics that where we've got common ground amongst diverse stakeholders. And so I think working with that common ground and moving forward with this change would give you a lot of benefits. And I think Fred described a lot of those for you, so I don't need to say any more. So thank you.
Thank you all. I want to thank the public. There was 9 of you that came forward with some very passionate points, and I think the commission is going to have a little discussion, and we will then, upon finalizing the discussion of the commission, we're going to take a 10-minute break. Commissioner Linville?
Thank you all for your testimony. One thing that the testimony sort of had a mini light bulb moment. From my community, you may get pushback on banning these killing contests because some folks are in favor of them. Some folks are concerned that it's a slippery slope to taking away coyote hunting, right? So that's shining the light on that side. And then what we heard from our testimony today was that you should ban them so that there isn't a slippery slope towards removing ethical hunting, even on predators. And so I just appreciated that got brought to light and that we get to see both sides of that. And so I'd really love, as we're moving forward with this discussion, to be really cognizant of the fact that appropriate ethical coyote hunting is not what we're talking about here, and to be clear about that.
Yes, well said. Commissioner Anderson and Commissioner Kehoe, if I may.
That point in the, as a hunter and have a lot of friends and acquaintances who are, I think the distinction between these kind of contests and hunting does definitely need to be brought out. And I think most people do I have to shut up?
Well, I was waiting for that buzzer.
Timed out. Well, my point is I think it has been brought out. We need to keep it out there as we're talking about it and explaining it so that there isn't the adverse reaction when there could well be a good understanding and common ground.
Commissioner Kehoe.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Baker, for bringing this matter to our attention. It's nice to be talking about something other than fish. We do spend a lot of time, particularly yesterday, fish overload. But let me just say, and I appreciate, too, the public coming and testifying. You know, our mandate, statutory mandate, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it doesn't speak to ethics. And so, you know, and that's in my view. We struggled with the issue of ethics when it came to the issue of baiting. There was a call for us to ban all kinds of baiting. We ended up not doing that. And part of it was based on the fair chase ethics of hunting. We did end up coming up with restrictions. However, there were some clear, egregious examples of baiting activity that we just said were not acceptable. So I'm looking forward to seeing and participating with an open mind in this. And that was kind of my question about that's, you know, if this activity wants to be banned or should be banned, my suggestion would be that is addressed by the legislature and not by us. But nevertheless, though, I do see that reading the RCW, the director shall administer rules adopted by the commission which govern the time, place, and manner of holding hunting and fishing contests. So clearly, as Commissioner Baker said, we do have the authority to regulate this. And so it could be, one example would be to ban prizes. But I just wanted to, and I know this may not be a popular view among people in the room, and not to say that, I'm not supporting the ethics of having these contests for coyotes. However, I am saying I'm uncomfortable in kind of getting ethics involved in us making ethical decisions as this body. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Thorburn and then Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. And thanks to all who came and testified. It was great to hear you. I jumped the gun a little bit, but want to follow up on my colleague, Commissioner Kehoe, sort of looking forward and sort of next steps. We as I said, have been talking about this in the Wildlife Committee, and our recommendation to the commission is, yes, we do need to take a look at the WACs and probably do something about this issue. Respect what Commissioner Kehoe was saying in terms of the previous similar kinds of discussions that we've had. I think we in the Wildlife Committee, the commissioners on the Wildlife Committee, and I think also those of you who we heard from today, acknowledge this is really not a biologic issue, it's a social issue. But those are issues that I think we do need to tackle, but we need to be sensitive, as Commissioner Anderson was saying about how we, and others have acknowledged about how we move forward and continue to respect our traditional constituents. The thing that is kind of new to my thinking today, as I said earlier, is it sounds like we've got a problem with a lot of illegal activity that goes on, even with perhaps the sanctioned contests in terms of trespass, but also unsanctioned contests going on. And that's where I think I'd like to maybe look at the help of the legislature for intervention to strengthen penalties to make these the kinds of things that prosecutors have to take up because the crime is a higher level of crime or whatever. For me, these social questions that we're hearing very often relate to the bad apples. You know, hunters maybe have, for people who don't hunt and are urban, have a bad name because there are, unfortunately, hunters who go out and poach and trespass. And, you know, that is, I think, a really important thing to control so that our traditional stakeholders and are protected and ethical hunting continues into the future. I continue with the recommendation from the Wildlife Committee that I would like to recommend that the Commission moves forward with the WACs as well and looks at this specific issue.
Joel, please.
A point of clarification, Chair, on just additional information in terms of the crimes and the penalties currently in place. Under 7715-160, which is the criminal provision for infractions, it does list sponsoring a contest, hunting contest, or fishing contest without the proper permit. That is an infraction. As to the act of trespass, actually, that is relatively steeper. The unlawful hunting on or retrieving hunted wildlife from someone's property without permission, especially if there is no innocence or we didn't know because it wasn't posted defense, that is listed as a, it is not an infraction, it is, where would it go? I'm suddenly not finding it in the statute, but it is here.
Can the AG read statutes?
Misdemeanor. So it's not gross misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor. However, their license is suspended for 2 years automatically, which is not a routine provision. It's not included with every
violation. And we don't need a prosecutor to do that.
So.
Right?
The suspension is connected to the conviction.
Okay.
So there are other civil actions the department can take, but that isn't pursued as often. So we don't have a lot of procedure in place. We don't see a lot of civil-type hearings for license revocations like that. So those are the two bits. Banning it, it would still be an infraction for the sponsor. It's not clear that an infraction would apply to someone who's participating in one as a participant as opposed to the sponsor. The language focuses a little bit more on the sponsoring for the infraction part.
Eric, do you want to say something?
Mr. Chair, no, not exactly, but I was just here in case there was some final direction or final questions.
We're going to get there.
Beyond, yeah.
Mr. Smith?
I'm one of the traditional constituents. I got into my whole career because I'm a hunter and a fisherman. And my colleague, Commissioner Keough, I think ethics has crept in over the years, rightfully so. In the area of hunter safety or hunter education, traditionally it was all safety-based, but now it's about 50-50 ethics-based on hunter education, rightfully so, too, I believe. But I've had to defend my adult life with many people because as an environmental scientist, people say, how can you be an environmental scientist and a hunter or a fisherman? So I've been in the trenches on that argument for many years. But something I could never, the two words put together really grate me, hunting contest. That just goes against my nature as an environmental scientist or as a hunter, a lifelong hunter. You know, hunting is a very personal activity that, you know, University of Wisconsin a number of years did a study about the progression of hunting and how you measure success. And initially, success when you're young is measured by how many you get, you know. And then the next level is how big is what you get, not how many, but how big. But the third level is the experience. And, you know, nothing can beat that experience about being out in a very cold morning, setting up your decoys in a duck blind, and listening to the marsh come alive. And pretty soon after you do that, you let a lot of ducks pass. Maybe one day you'll only take two, and the next day you only one, because you realize it's the experience. And hunting provides that experience. But there's no way that that's a contest. That's an experience. So I could never support, as a traditional client of agencies like this, or as an environmental scientist, having the words hunting contest.
I'll be real brief, and then Commissioner Baker wants to wrap this up. I've been in the state my entire life, and I've been involved in fishing and hunting activities. And primarily in my hunting activities that were in eastern Washington, I had large parcels of ground that were for waterfowl and or game bird hunting, pheasants, for example. And there's just a lot of complexities to this issue from both the landowner and our constituents that recreate in the outdoors. And but I'm very respectful of what the comments today and from both the commission and the public. And I guess my only guidance would be, let's be careful, let's go slow, and let's get it right, and let's be inclusive of all sectors' views on this before we put something in it to paper. Mr. Baker?
Well, putting something to paper is sort of where I was headed. First, just a couple of comments. I couldn't make the case against these wildlife killing contests any better than anybody else did, so I'm not going to try. From our perspective up here on the commission, especially Commissioner Kehoe, I totally understand the idea that perhaps this would be more suited to the legislature. I also seriously disagree. We do have ethics. The statutes aren't always written to instill ethical behavior. I think they leave that to agencies. But our statutory mandate, as we all know, is to preserve, perpetuate, and protect. Or this is what we look at the back of our name tags. It says sound stewardship of fish and wildlife. We also work under ethical principles, which is our governance principles, which are rife with ethics. And I don't think, at least the way I've read them, none of them support making a game out of killing as many animals as you can. So I also want to address a comment about baiting and possibly trapping. I wasn't here when you guys considered whether you could regulate baiting or trapping, but I was across the street, and that issue, which if we had the authority in this at this table to do that, would have prevented perhaps the biggest fights and the most horrible black eyes to this agency than I've seen ever. The legislature couldn't even deal with those issues. They became initiatives. The initiatives outgrew by leaps and bounds the original problem, and the whole state got involved, and it didn't look good for trappers, it didn't look good for hunters, and it looked awful for this agency. And so if we can avoid that by taking on what we can do here, which really isn't that big a deal, I mean, technically, we are going to prohibit at most 6 of these sanctioned contests a year. Not that big a deal, but it's a huge deal in terms of a step forward of walking the talk that we've all talked this last year. So ending there, if we have a recommendation from the Wildlife Committee, we've heard this issue, we've heard all these people. Admittedly, we haven't heard a bunch of other people who probably want to comment on this. Where we will hear from them is in the rulemaking process. And so what I want to know is when we are at this juncture, what we need to do to get us to the rulemaking process, and whether we can do that in the short term. After that and offline, I'll have a bunch of questions like who's going to write the proposed rule. But for now, we have to get there, and how do we do that?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Baker, so we have a standard process, but we always have the opportunity to work outside of that. So we would normally do annual season setting with sort of minor changes, and we would normally deal with larger issues, perhaps like this, in our three-year season setting, and then sometimes maybe more significant management philosophy changes or different ways to truly manage a species, or that would appear in our six-year game management plan. But we can bring WACs forward for public review anytime during that process. We would just have to go through our regulatory process of announcing our intention with the CR 101, and then we would have to develop proposed language for a rule for the public to comment on through a CR 102 process, and then evaluate that and share that with the commission and come back for your final decision on that potential rule revision. And I think in this case, it wouldn't be asking too much to ask us to do it sooner than the three-year cycle. If that was the commission's desire, I think we could put this on our docket. And for me, the big process question that would follow would be exactly what would we want to see contained within that CR 102 language for public comment. We don't need to necessarily get this today because I know we have a time constraint, but I've heard ban the contest, and then I've also heard a lot of the contest may occur, and knowing about them is important, and it's the prize that matters. So banning the prize associated with the contest, those were two ideas that I heard floated today from the commission. And so anyway, just getting some clarity of what we would be looking to propose, but we would still be able to evaluate the feedback from that process, and the commission would still have some latitude in any of those arenas if we approach it properly to come in with the final decision. So
follow up.
Go ahead.
The recommendation from the committee is to ban the contest. So if that is still the recommendation, which is always a question, in terms of getting a CR 101, and that's just a statement that we are going to be writing a WAC, correct? So can we expect something like that at our next commission meeting?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, yeah, if we get that direction, we can put that notice into play very, very quickly. And sometimes we have those in play, and they actually may be live, so to speak, for a year. So that's a fairly simple process. The little bit longer process is, as I was trying to describe, is what we would then actually put forward as a potential proposed rule change under the CR 102. So I could turn to Anise here, but I have little doubt that we could get that we couldn't get a CR 101 out next week. I think we could make that happen, the notification to that degree. It's the refinement in the language that would be the proposal in the 102 that might take a little more time.
Commissioner McIsaac first, and then Commissioner Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I didn't want to cut short Commissioner Baker's exchange for that particular, but I was going to suggest that when we get to future meeting planning and talk about various workload aspects, that maybe that might be the time to look at the calendar and see where something could fit in. And the concept of starting with some more detailed commission guidance about what WACs would be in play and have some public notice about opening the door to the whole question so that more public than were noticed by this agenda item as to the content might be a way to proceed. And so I don't know when that is, but we do have an agenda item later today that could get into that.
Mr. Lindville?
To get to Chair Carpenter's inclusivity comment, is there something that we can do? Can we have a conversation around this again at either the Tri-Cities meeting or the Yakima meeting? I feel as though we need to give folks that may want to speak against this the opportunity to be fair. And I think we're going to more likely get those folks in a Eastern or Central Washington location. And I would like
That's
to, I would really like to have them have that opportunity if they choose to do so.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. Anything else? Nothing else? We will. Thank you, gentlemen, all. We're going to take a break. We'll come back at 10. Please come to order.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff, I thought David Jennings would be here.
Please take your conversations out in the hallway. We need to get back to business here. Thank you very much. Commissioner Thorburn has a comment.
Yeah, just before we turn to the next item, to just wrap up on the last item, and again, recognizing we've had a lot of really great input, I would just sort of see if the commission will nod to opening the CR 101 to evaluate hunting contests.
Does it take a motion?
Doesn't take a motion. No objection? No objection? So moved. No objection, Commissioner Anderson?
No objection.
Okay. We are moving.